This tax refund season, MetroPCS has an offer so good you'll want to shout it from the mountaintops.
Switch to MetroPCS!
MetroPCS!
And get two!
Get two!
4G LTE phones!
Whoa.
For free!
Free!
Switch to MetroPCS and get two free 4G LTE smartphones from brands like Samsung and LG. Only at MetroPCS.
Limited time offer. Sales tax not included in phone price. After instant rebate. Coverage and services not available everywhere. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Hello, hello, my beloveds, and welcome to the Human Spirit Radio Network, and welcome to our program, Waking Gods and Goddesses Embodying Divine Wisdom and the Sensual Life. My name is Mario West, and I am your hostess of the highest, way shower, and divine love agent provocateur for this Waking Gods and Goddesses global movement. And I am here to download, upload, inspire, and usher you into your bestest and brightest light, your bestest and brightest self. And I am inviting you all to open your hearts, opening them up wider and wider still, emptying your minds and what you think you know, and inviting all of our neglected inner children, our punky, rebellious, misunderstood, pissed-off teenagers, our stressed-out, frustrated, overworked, and under-pleasured adults to come out of hiding, come out and receive, inviting you all to give your bestest love and appreciation to one and all, particularly beaming love and gratitude to our planet, because we remember that the world isn't the planet. So here we are again. We are sharing this time and space in this gorgeous matrix of light and love that spans the curvature of our Earth, our Gaia, in all directions. I so appreciate our collective activation of engaging the new feminine way of creation, which is based, by the way, on collaboration with the new masculine, co-creation of cyberspace and all the expanded realities of our phone lines, internet techie toys that have made it all possible for all of us to connect, share time, sacred space, and energy together in global community. This is the 190th broadcast of the Human Spirit Radio Network and our 32nd episode of our program. So I want you all now to go ahead. We've got a lot to cover today, and it's going to be fun and juicy. So I want you to get your water and tea ready. We're all going to get into our cozy, comfy places and dial down our nervous systems for a bit. And so to be safe, I don't want you to be doing this while you're driving or walking around, all right? There's a lot of stuff going on, and we've got Jessica McKay, who is our techie Uber goddess engineer, holding space for us on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast, so we're being held here, and we're just beaming electric violet light all around. So get ready. So softly just close your eyes and receive a deep breath in and let it out. One more time, receiving a deep breath in and letting it out. Breathing in and breathing out in your own timing, your own way. And just notice your breath, allowing any thoughts to come and go, just noticing. And just notice that deep calm and awareness that you are readily and easily dropping into. On an inhale, I want you to place your left hand over your heart. And on an exhale, place your right hand at chest level with your palm facing outward. And if you're not hands-free, you can imagine that you're doing this. Keep breathing, beloveds. On a huge breath in, allow your breath to saturate your heart and feel the love that you are. Feel your love moving through your body. Feel your love in your cells, your organs, your tissues, your fluids. Feel your love moving through your blood, bones, marrow. Keep breathing, beloveds. Nice and easy. Let yourself open to the awareness that you are this very moment. And linger in the sweetness of this awareness. And in this moment of awareness, I want you to gift that awareness to everyone and every being on this planet. That's it. Lingering in the sweetness of this awareness. On an inhale, I want you to think of someone you love and really connect with that person. And on an exhale, I want you to send that person all of your love. Feel and imagine your love moving through your body, sending all your love out of the center of your right palm that's facing outward, trusting that your love is instantly being received by this person. And I want you to trust in this process, even if you feel like you've no idea what you're doing. Trusting in the process. You are divine love. You are the divine in the flesh. I want you to think of someone or a situation that perhaps really challenges you and pushes your buttons. That's it. Keep breathing. And on a huge inhale, feel your heart expand and give big love into your left hand that's over your heart, allowing your left hand to receive this love just for this person or situation that challenges you. Feel your love travel through your left arm, throughout your body, your cells, your organs, your tissues, etc. And consciously send your love out through the palm of your right hand, sending and beaming your love, which is infinite, to this very challenging person or situation. A person you may not like, a situation you really despise. Beam him or her, that situation, your love, because you really do care. Because you're bigger than any conflict between the two of you. You're bigger than any situation. Because you really are an emissary of love and peace. Keep breathing. And now let's all together just linger in this beaming of love to our challenges, to our situations, to our hate, to our anger, our rage, our sorrows, our indifference. Keep breathing. That's it, beloveds. Nice and easy. And let us together collectively saturate all the troubled areas of our world, as well as sending love to our planet, to those folks who deeply hold us in deep gratitude for their steadfast support of us and the world. Let's breathe long and full for a few more breaths, trusting that our collective love has the power to transform and heal anything and everything. Keep breathing. We are awakening. We are remembering who and what we are, knowing and embodying our divinity of being Source, God, Goddess, all that is, infinite loving awareness and consciousness, ever being, ever evolving, ever becoming, having a human experience, all for the highest good, the deepest possible truth, the innermost clarity and peace, and most profound of healing. So let us co-create another grid of electric violet light surrounding us in all directions over the curvature of our planet, setting the intention during our time together that all energies and entities, tribal and matrix system realities alike, including the powers that want to be, and any and all false light, artificial timeline matrices, and all inter, intra, extra dimensional portals and doorways that may have opened, blocking and interfering with our divine creative natures, that they be instantly dissolved and or returned to their sources. Jai Ma. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes, and as you do so, I want you to take your time and readjust and look around you wherever you are. I invite you to pull in your consciousness through your sense of sight, your eyes and what you see into the middle of your head, and just notice the soft focus nature of what it is that you're seeing, internalizing this vision. And if you want, you can gently move back and forth from this heightened awareness reality to normal reality, and I'm putting that in quotes, and check out the difference for yourself and play with this, beloveds, because this is a great way to remain still while it's interfacing with the outside world and maintaining a deep relationship to the silence within, the vast spaciousness of your true divine nature, so as to not get caught up in the pendulum swing of that chaos of conventional reality. You know the status quo of going from one thing to another to another to another, or sleepwalking through life on autopilot. One of the main reasons to practice regular meditation is to better be able to stay still and aligned and vertical amidst times when we can be highly reactive and identified by outer circumstances, by the world at large, the intense events happening in real time, crazy crowds, traffic, the stresses of trying to keep up with the endless list of all the things that we have to do, when we get temporarily caught up and entangled in that false timeline reality of this left brain addictive doing, or triggered by the mirrors and mirroring of all our relationships. So utilizing meditation allows us to dial down our nervous systems, okay, and give our poor adrenal glands a break so that we can rebalance ourselves, contain and conserve our creative energies, and not lose power, especially when life happens, right? And I was just listening this morning to a beautiful, beautiful video interview of a man by the name of Philip Stevens, who's also known as Swami Sam, and he is a neurophysiologist and a sleep expert. And one of the things that he suggests, and I'm just going to put this out here because we are addicted to our techie toys, that when you're sleeping, to, number one, turn off the Wi-Fi, and if you have to have your cell phone by you, to make sure it is airplane mode, because that will cut off any input of any, you know, additional things into your room, okay? So I just wanted to, like, put that out there before I forgot, sort of popped in, all right? So because there's too much input overload, all right? And really, is most of it important? Not so much, okay? And I want to remind us that being spiritually awake, being present, being enlightened requires that we don't avoid anything in our lives, that we just notice what we're up to when we're resisting a situation or sensation, because there's so much projected guilt and shame onto us about feeling pleasure and feeling pain and being stressed, you know. I'm even hearing a lot of people talking that balance is like the new domination matrix pattern mind control programming. It's like, oh, my goodness gracious, six alive. Okay, so what we want to do, we want to dial down, tune in, be in our bodies, because what we're endeavoring to do as we wake up, we're endeavoring to move beyond the limitations of five-sense reality, all right? The powers that want to be, they want us to forget the fact that we have a sixth sense, which is that of our intuition, our imagination, and our seventh sense, which is our innate generosity of gifting and giving, which is the divine masculine principle, and receiving, which is the divine feminine principle. So in moving beyond five-sense reality, we have to tune in and understand this ginormous misconception about spiritual awakening, all right? And we've all heard it, that once you're awake, your life is going to be perfect, your relationships and love relationships are going to be perfect, sex is going to be perfect, you're going to have perfect money and abundance flowing in from all directions towards you, you're going to have perfect health, never manifest a fatal disease, perfect hair, perfect skin, the perfect body, the perfect ass, and be carefree and happy, happy all the time. And never feel bad, challenged, experience loss, or have an intense emotion, because if you do, then you're not really awake. I mean, really, it makes me just want to, like, pull my hair out when I hear that crap, because it's bullshit. And of course you know it is, all right? So I'm here to tell you that in those big fat lies, these are all points of healing. And it's very, very interesting. There is a healer and a shaman, unfortunately. She's passed on backstage. I think it's been 20 years now. Her name is Nilita Anderson. And she was a Filipina shaman, worked in the Philippines, also worked in Hawaii. And she spoke about how many of our killing points are also our healing points. So when you keep that in mind, we are really pretty powerful in and of ourselves. So if we can hold ourselves as complete instead of buying into what I call the big fat lie that we're anything but divine, all right, we can really start rocking our lives from places where we've never dreamt possible, all right? And so, as you know, there is a lot of really horrific and unconscionable shite going down these days, beloveds. I can't even keep up with it, and I really don't want to, so I choose not to. I'm not sticking my head in the sand because, believe me, my private practice, it's gigantic, and it's been off the charts lately with folks just wanting to come in for some kind of relief in the intense emotional reactivity, responsibilities, responses, lots of fear, sorrow, helplessness, righteous indignation, that would be me, and betrayal seems to be a huge theme amongst my clients and friends, and coupled with bad behavior in terms of people lacking integrity and acting out and not being accountable, as in flaking out on agreements or unilaterally changing agreements without negotiating first. Naughty, naughty, naughty. That is just bullshit, people, okay? So may we all grow up and treat one another with loving kindness and respect. Even when you're not particularly liking someone or a situation, you don't agree with them, one of my favorite people on the planet, Caroline W. Casey of KPFA's long-running 18-year radio program, Coyote Network News. She suggests that respect is about reconsidering or having another look-see at a situation or person again and again and again and again until you can tap into the gift or the medicine, the intrinsic value that's there. And so much divisiveness these days and so much BS regarding consciousness and awakening. And for myself, I believe the mark of an enlightened society is for no one to inflict any harm or theft upon another person or the planet. But we, beloveds, as a very young-souled collective society, we're much more aligned with the mantra, the one with the most toys wins. I mean, it's not one of my values, but I hear it all the time. So lately I've been at a bunch of conferences with this movement and that movement. Those of you who know, I swing all sorts of ways. And I have to tell you, with all the lip service and pontification about the importance of waking up and being conscious and aware and being in the heart, there is still this divisiveness, this competition, one-upsmanship. Even amongst the Truth and Freedom movement, much to my disappointment, it's still the good old boys club. It is alive and well. And the puppets of the patriarchy and the powers that want to be, they are in full swing. And it's a bit of a problem because it's just the same old shit, just a different costume. And so we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this divisiveness, all right? And those of you who've worked with me, you know that I do a lot of work around harmonizing the left brain and the right brain, having a very good core relationship between our inner feminine and our inner masculine. And so this brings us to our gorgeous special guest, Mater X. And before I bring her on, I want to give you a brief download about who she is, a little bit. Mater X is wife and co-conspirator of Freighter X of the Middle Chamber Internet Radio Show, formerly on American Freedom Radio Network. She's a poetess, barista, and bread-baking, reluctant, culinary savant. She's a goofy geek girl, fluent in Pig Latin, and a Spaniard in her own right. She is the mother of five. That's right, five. Amazing, intelligent, beautiful, artistic, and loving people, and guide for their own journeys to awakening. A whirling dervish and a spirited, wild, soulful woman who believes that all issues that divide us are there to keep us from realizing that we are all one race human. Her personal heroes are George Carlin, Bill Hicks, Russell Means, Jello Biafra, Rick Simpson, Ralph Nader. Woohoo! You can check her out on her blog, and we're going to have all of the information on the page. It is my deepest honor to introduce to you my beloved guest, my friend, Mater X. Mater X, are you there? Hello? Uh-oh. Did we lose her? Oh, no! Uh-oh. Hello? Uh-oh. I think we have a problem here. Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're all back online. I don't know what happened.
Maya?
What happened?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Phew.
Are we still going?
Yeah, we're still
going.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
Well, you know what it is. It happens every time I have a hot guest on. We have
really?
Issues. We have
that's true.
Issues.
Oh, my gosh,
and
that's true.
And so hopefully this is on the recording, and if not, you know, oh, well, I just talked to myself. Which,
well, I know that
know.
I know at first I was on my cordless phone, and it totally died on me.
Okay.
And
all right.
Then it, or at least the call got dropped, so I went on my other phone. So I'm so sorry. I'm glad you're hearing everything you said.
Okay, so you heard everything. All right. All
yes.
Right. So, see, this is what happens. I talk about a lot of really cool stuff, and the shit just goes crazy. It's like the techie. It's like, no, we don't want people to hear this. We want to, like, you know, we want to mess with you, blah, 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 blah. Okay, mess away, people. I don't care. All right, so we're back. We're back.
You're back.
Shit happens, you know, and we just, guess what? We move on. So, Mater X, welcome.
Thank you, Maria. It's really great to be here. The guest on someone else's show. It's kind of funny.
Yay.
On the other side of the mic.
Yeah. So, well, let's hear about you. Who are you? Where do you come from? How did you get started on your path of truth seeking?
I think I was born questioning everything, frankly, because I can not remember a time in my childhood or growing up that I wasn't getting in trouble for questioning the authority around me. So,
right on, girl.
And I just always have wondered, like, I've had those existential questions of life, you know, the universe and everything, and the meaning of it all, and, you know, why I needed you know, one religion or another to, you know, achieve enlightenment in this lifetime. And I was kind of always an outsider, and so I kind of was just naturally pushed that way. And where I'm from Earth. That's as basic as I can get, because I basically was born one place and lived a million others. And I have to say, I have not really been outside of the Northern American continent, which I plan to change at some point in my life. Hopefully soon, actually. But, you know, that requires more money than I currently have in my possession. So.
Well,
and, go ahead.
What are some of your earliest sort of insights? I'm just so curious about that.
Well, with religion especially, my grandparents, my father's family, I'm half Mexican, so my mother's family is from Mexico, and they're pretty much Catholic, you know, and my dad's family is white and, Western European, you could say, and there's a Baptist there, and so God was always kind of there, but my mother was a seeker, and so she pretty much introduced my sisters and I to Hinduism, Judaism, Buddhism, everything that you could think of ism, you know. I was told that I was actually baptized by Jesus freaks in the 70s.
Awesome.
So, you know.
I love that.
And so I kind of just always, I never really got much out of going to church, even though I can as an adult now recognize and appreciate the almost meditative aspect of going to church, minus the preaching and dogma. You know, but what really started, I think, making me question things, aside from the fact that my parents split up when I was really young, and so there was a disruption in my life from, you know, really, really young, and I have spots of, like, memory that I probably blocked out that maybe my parents were fighting or whatever, I don't know, you know, but my aunt was a very, very, my great aunt, actually, was a very staunch, devout Catholic who I really could only remember healthy and active in my younger childhood. And from, like, my teens, early teens onward up until the, you know, time that I lost touch with her and she passed, she was just plagued by one physical malady after another. And I just couldn't understand as a child how a loving God could just let one of the people who loved him so much suffer so, and it kind of turned me off to it, you know. And then, like, as I was getting more familiar via my mom and her broadening our horizons really spiritually, I started really looking into Buddhism and Taoism and stuff like that, and it really resonated a lot more with me, you know, just being at peace with yourself and having a direct connection with the divine and really trying to seek balance, you know, as opposed to imposing my views or my wills on anybody, you know. And I mean, that's everywhere from, I mean, I think it is mostly in, you know, hate to say it, the Abrahamic religions, but, you know. And I'm sure, I do know, though, that there's, you know, kind of a dark history of Buddhism, too. You know, there's things that they don't like to talk about in their history.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, it's not just this peaceful, loving anything. But I took the peaceful, loving anything out of it, as well as the peaceful, loving anything from Christianity and Judaism and all of those things, you know. And I've just kind of, you know, I believe in fairies, and I believe in magic, too, and I believe that there's, you know, more than just one God, and I don't care what you want to call him or her or what, it's just, we're, you know, I like to think of elemental powers and, you know,
beautiful
stuff like that. So.
We're on the same page. So, Nader X, how does this translate to raising 5 children? I mean, I'm, like, I've known that, and I just really didn't, like, it was more sort of a peripheral kind of thing, and then I was tuning into you this morning, and I realized, oh, my God, 5 kids, Lord. How does that translate in terms of, you know, all the information and the wisdom that you have derived from from growing and becoming more conscious and awake. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, it kind of made it easier because I didn't, we kind of let our kids question authority too, you know? I mean,
beautiful.
We have to be the authority figures just because we're parents and that's our job. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we have to teach them right and wrong, you know, but we're not just going to force them to be something that they're not and not allow them to even call us into question. I mean, what kind of hypocrites would we be, you know, if we didn't allow our children to do exactly what we have already done and preach to the rest of the world
mm-hmm.
to do, you
yeah.
know, and to seek truth and balance. And even if it, you know, doesn't agree with what we want to think about ourselves or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, we pick our battles, you know, I mean, it's not easy.
Yeah.
For damn sure.
Yeah.
I mean, five kids is a lot of wills, you know. And to be perfectly honest, my oldest and first child, I had him when I was really young. I was just barely 18. And he actually did grow up with my mother, who did a really good job raising him. And the funny irony is that he turned out just like me. And so I wonder, you know, he's a questioner and he's a seeker and he's just this really cool guy, you know. And I didn't really have anything to do with that except for my genetic contribution, really. I mean, I was involved in his life, you know, but long story short, things just didn't work out that way, and I was young, and, you know, he was taken care of, and we have a good relationship now, and he is considered a full member of our family, and it's so funny because he looks like me and do so many of my other children, and so there's no real difference
wow.
that there can be for him, you know, in our family, and so, he was not really in the picture as much as the other children, obviously, were. But five kids, yeah, it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of personality differences, just as much as there are similarities.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And they're great kids. And I mean, we promote art, we promote spirituality. You know, we talk about magic. We totally welcome their imaginations to flourish, you know, and if they want to believe in fairies and Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, which they don't really know about the Easter Bunny because we don't really teach them about, I shouldn't say we don't teach them, because we do teach them, we give them our opinions and our findings about things, you know, and we're very non-biased, you know, we're just very matter of fact and say, well, this is what some people believe and this is what others believe and this is kind of what we believe, and
mm-hmm.
go ahead and figure out what you want to believe.
How do you approach with your kids the sort of imposed gender divisiveness of the powers that want to be? Like, you know, the whole man versus woman thing, the war of the sexes. How does that come up with your children, and how do you deal with that?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, it really hasn't been much of an issue. I mean, it has been because you can't escape it in our society, but
yes.
We don't promote gender stereotypes. We don't promote racial stereotypes. We just kind of let them figure out who they are. And my daughter, my very only daughter, is a beautiful girl who likes girly stuff sometimes, but she's kind of a tomboy, and my boys are just boys, and we don't really care for sports. I hate to say, I know that a lot of people do, but you know, I like to watch soccer now and then and everything, and I can enjoy a good game if it's on, but we're nerds, so you know, we have nerd kids. And that's great. And, I mean, we've got one kid who's kind of a jock, and my oldest did play football in school. And, but, you know, and we're supportive in those respects. But, you know, and we don't support war, and our children don't support war. So there's not the whole, like, boys need to be warriors, even though we do respect a strong, you know, spirit and, you know, strengths that is just as men are stronger, yeah, physically most of the time, and, you know, so they're good protectors and providers and all that stuff, and if you want to get primitive about it, you know, yes, men are there to take care of stuff, but hey, so are women, you know, I mean, for God's sake, men come out of women, you know,
yeah.
So we promote
yes,
a respect for life in general, but definitely, I would have to say we definitely promote a respect for women, not to a fault and not to a sensitive new age guy kind of thing in our boys, but it's like a respect for themselves as well, you know, because how are they going to respect themselves if they're going to be disrespectful to others just based on, you know, stupid little things like gender?
Yes, yes.
You know?
Well, let's bring this to you. What are your views on feminism? I know you're very outspoken. You have a lot to offer. You've raised kids. I mean, you do it all. You know, you do it all. So what are your views on feminism?
Well, I think this has been brought up a couple of times in interviews mm-hmm. that we've had, and I think that feminism in its basic form, in the way that it was probably started as a movement either in the 60s or in the 19th century and there up to the 60s for equal rights for all people, really, I think that it was probably a victim of what usually seems to happen in these movements where certain people get into the movement and rise up and assume another agenda, and the whole thing just kind of takes another turn. I mean, we were just talking about it yesterday with a couple of gentlemen on our show about how the Tea Party movement, it started out seemingly this grassroots great thing that we could all get behind because they were like a movement of the people kind of a situation, you know, and it was very reminiscent to me of Howard Dean's campaign for presidency back in 2004, and he was just a man of the people, you know, and how dare he express emotion of being
Uh-oh.
Glad that they were succeeding, and, you know, because they labeled him a psycho or whatever, and then what we got was a psycho, and I don't think we've had anything different since, frankly, but...
I agree.
And... So, oh God, I got off topic. I think I always do that when I start talking about politics.
Feminism. It's easy to do because you know, one of the things that I'm becoming more and more aware of, and I'm actually okay about it. I used to be of the sort of camp where I wanted to men and women to sort of be the same, that we were this sort of homogeneic being,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, da 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 da. And as I'm learning more and more and more about the differences between the masculine brain and the feminine brain, and what I listened to this morning, I mean, it was astounding because this Swami Sam, bless his heart, he put out this analogy about the difference between the male brain and the female brain. He said the male brain is more akin to, say, dial-up, and the feminine brain is more broadband. And it's just, like, astounding. It's like, oh, my God, there it is right there.
That is so funny. Frederick and I were having a conversation earlier this morning, and something similar came up, and I don't need to go into detail, but... He was saying, you know, when a guy hears that, he hears something else. And when a woman hears that, you know, she's thinking about it and pondering it and really diving into it, you know. And the guy, he just kind of like moves on to the, you know, physical or whatever, you know.
Well, exactly, because we're able to receive information, absorb it, sort it out, have a feeling about it, et cetera, be able to speak about it, and then also render either an opinion or a conclusion or a sort of processing about it instantaneously, whereas, and this is one of the problems that I have, or one of the challenges I have with my partner, is that he's a soundbite kind of guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He'll ask me a question, and I'll answer it, and he'll get stuck on like one word at the very beginning, and the rest
I do that sometimes, but
has gone to hell in a handbasket. It's like, what? And so, you know, it's just, it's fascinating how it all goes. And then also the sort of intellectual of the right brain versus left brain, et cetera, mm-hmm. and how, you know, women are like less intelligent IQ-wise, but then when you actually understand intelligence, there's four different parts of intelligence. There's our mm-hmm. intellectual quotient, the IQ, our emotional quotient, the physical quotient, and the spiritual quotient. And so we have to be able to, like, really address and look mm-hmm. at each one of those. And women, sorry, hands down, we're rocking it. And, you know, and
well,
that's
we
kind of
have
divided.
To. I mean, we grow
yes.
people inside us, you know.
Exactly.
So, you know, we kind of have to have a little bit of an upgrade
yes.
to do all that. I mean, I'm yeah. not saying that men – I don't hate men. I mean, my God, one of the things that I love about my husband is that he is strong in the areas in which I'm weak, you know. We really complement each other and
yes.
vice versa, you know.
Yes.
And so
yeah.
he possesses strengths that I can learn from as and vice versa, you know, and we're, you know, he recognizes the sacred feminine and he's in touch with his own divine masculine, you know, and I mean, I've always felt very much more akin or in tune with my masculine side
yes.
as opposed to my feminine side.
Yeah.
And so I've always been a little bit more aggressive than my sisters or the girls that I always knew. And, you know, I was a little bit more loud. And when
yeah.
I get, I like to, I kind of think I coined a term the other day. I was thinking about it called passionate compassion. You know, I'm really a loving
yes.
person.
What is
and
that?
Well, it's of my own design. And it's an explanation for the fact that a woman can be loud-mouthed and loud about something she's impassioned about and doesn't have to be looked at as some psycho bitch.
Right,
you know,
on.
Because women have a spirit and a voice, and we need to be heard just as much as men do.
Yes.
You know, and we have insights that sometimes are missed.
Yes.
If we're only focusing on one interpretation or side of something. And
so true.
So...
So true. And, you know, I love that. I love that you mentioned that, the whole thing about the, you know, crazy psycho biatches and all this kind of stuff. I overheard some guys talking. It was at the Whole Foods parking lot of all places. Ridiculous. And the one guy goes, oh, dude, the full moon is coming. And the other guy responds, oh, my God. Oh, my God, Sheila's going to be fucking insane. Oh, my God, brace yourselves. And I literally was just flabbergasted. I'm going, oh, my God, this is like a program here. And I know that a lot of women get sucked into it, a lot of men get sucked into it, and so it's like, you know, it's like a perverted sort of red tent sort of scenario that
mm-hmm.
instead of honoring the moon cycle or the bleeding cycle, that we go into these labels, we go into more divisiveness and judgments and on and on and on, and which separates and divides us even more.
Absolutely.
And I think you and I have had the conversation about what I think PMS is all about.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd mention that, actually, because
yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, because I'm absolutely convinced, because I don't have PMS. I've never had it. You know, I've never had it. I'm just kind of an in-your-face kind of girl all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the moon and I actually stopped bleeding when I was 32. I'm going to be 55. And I remember going into the doctors, and they were like going, well, that's so weird because, you know, you're menopausal, and yet you have the hormones of an 85-year-old woman, but look at you. My God, you're like really strong and on, ass-kicking. And my Taoist doctor, I love that you brought up Taoism, because he was totally brilliant. Because what he said to me, he said, you have a lot of work to do. Bleeding is going to deplete you, and so the divine is actually stopping that process so you don't wear yourself out until you get your work done.
Wow.
And I was kind of floored by that. But one of the things that I learned from him is that there is a sort of collective activation that we women And also men, because we've had past lives as men and women. But mm-hmm. there is a sort of underlying cellular memory of the atrocities upon woman by the patriarchy in the world throughout our millennia. And it continues on to this day. And a lot of it, as you know, is sanitized. We're just going to ignore it. It's happening over there. It isn't happening to me, so it's not my reality. So piss on it, you know, that right. kind of thing. But it's just like what happens when you've got input overload. It has to vent. And I am totally convinced, just watching my friends and my colleagues, and I've had thousands of clients over the last almost 30 years, of, you know, being in practice, that there is this venting that has to happen. And I have way too many people going, women going, you know, I just feel insane, and I have all this rage that comes up, and I don't know where this rage is coming from. Mm-hmm. Well, you look at our collective history, and there it is. You can't yeah. not be pissed off about it. You can't not have righteous indignation about it. You can't not have the cellular memory, you know, just... You can't tap it down. You can't dampen it. You can't hasten it. You can't contain it. It has to go somewhere. So mm-hmm. I always suggest to a lot of women to, you know, vent. Scream your ass off. Go crazy. You know, allow yourself, give yourself permission to, like, just kind of offload that, because it's important. Otherwise, it stays in our cells, and we get sick. You know, we get some kind of, like, cancers growing or whatever. Or we're just disempowered. So either way, we have to, like, be real with it and not blame it on our hormones. I mean, you know, science can come up with all sorts of backup yeah. for their shit. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So, you know, I just wanted to, like, put that out there since we talked about it, and it was so fun.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it reminds me of something else you said about a woman's inner bullshit meter,
yes.
you know, and how, you know, maybe we're just bitches because we're more in tune to that bullshit meter, and
yes.
you know, not, you know, just more in tune to calling a spade, you know,
yes.
opposed to just kind of sitting back and taking it like we do the rest of the time. I read a book several years ago called Once a Month, and it really actually helped me, because I do get emotional symptoms of PMS,
mm-hmm.
or I never really, and occasionally I'll get cramps, sometimes bloating, but usually I just get very hyper-emotional, and I do let it all out, and maybe that's why I hardly ever get sick.
Awesome. You go, girl, because that's what we need to do. We need to
yeah.
give ourselves permission to, like, really go there. And here's the thing. Here's
I mean,
the
it's
thing
not to
I
say
wanted.
It's okay to be totally irrational, you know,
yeah.
and just say, okay, I'm going to have an excuse now to be psychotic, but...
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's very masculine, and that's what I
yeah.
wanted to point out, that a lot of bitchy, the energy of bitchy is actually projective, because it is from you to another, to a situation, out
mm-hmm.
of you towards something, and that's masculine energy. Masculine energy is projective. So when we do that and we act like psychopaths, sociopathic men, we're labeled as psycho crazy bitches. And it's so ironic, you know, and I pointed
yeah.
this out at a men's group, and they were so floored. It's like you could have heard a mouse fart, literally. it just got quiet, and
wow.
that was it. You know, they were like, oh, yeah, oh, man, that's kind of cool. Duh. So,
you know, you mentioned, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I just forgot it. You mentioned, oh, my God, what the hell was it? Jeez, I hate when that happens. It's like right
it
there.
Happens. It'll come
oh,
back.
Oh, no, okay. It's funny that you mentioned that you stopped menstruating at 32 because my cycle just drastically changed after I had my last child. And I really only go for a couple of days now, where it used to be almost a week. And it was pretty much of a steady, heavy thing most of the time, and then it would get lighter and whatever. But this time it's just like a day of big stuff and then an easier day, and then it's kind of done. And it's, like, really weird. And it also kind of made itself regular, or more regular, because I always had erratic I had a very erratic cycle, which probably contributed to a lot of my hormonal reactions to things or emotional reactions to things, just being all over the place all the time.
Well,
but I find that remarkable. And I love what he said. I love what your Taoist doctor said, because that makes it even cooler. You know, I thought it was really weird, and for a while I kind of got a little nervous. But then I was like, all right, well, I'm really not going to complain about having an easier time here. So, but I like the idea.
I wasn't upset at all. And I really wasn't upset, because I didn't want to have children. I mean, given my background, I always thought that, oh, my God, if I have kids, I'm going to really mess them up. So we're not going to go there. So I was actually quite all right about it. And my Taoist doctor was just, he was a cool old guy, you know. He just had a lot of honor and respect for the deep, deep feminine, and was always he was just such a champion for the divine feminine in a very unique way, and not in a way that was very like, he wasn't a feminist or anything like that, you know. It wasn't about the man-woman thing. It was really about the gifts of who we are as women. And one of the things that he said to me, which I'll just never forget it, because he was always talking about not man or woman, but more in terms of the masculine, feminine energies of yang and yin, respectively. And he would always tell me, remember, within every unfolding moment of existence, there is the emptiness of yin, which is the feminine and its woman, receiving the fullness of yang, which is the masculine or man. And so he was always really putting forth the sort of thing about conscious sexuality, that if you're going to be with a man, if he's not conscious, don't let him in.
Yeah.
Don't let him in. And that's what he meant by that. So I thought that was, like, such a cool thing. It just, like, stuck in my mind all these years, and that's been over 20 years.
Yeah. That is amazing. You know, and that brings us back to feminism, you know, and my personal views on feminism. I am all for women reclaiming their sovereignty and empowering themselves and being equal to men. You know, I don't think that men are shit. I love men. I raise men, you know, and I'm trying to raise good men. Strong men,
beautiful,
but compassionate men.
Beautiful.
And so my views are more of like a everybody-ism, you know. Everybody, you know, has something that is valuable. And so, but I do think that women have suffered an awful lot in our world.
Yeah.
And I really, really think that there's still a lot of places in the world that continue that awful treatment of women. And it can't any longer be it's an over there thing, because because
we just empower it. We just empower it
collectively.
You know, this reality that we've co-created, the manifest reality, we're all responsible for it. And so your actions and your inactions, all of your dysfunctions, we're all co-creating this. And I know I've gotten into some, like, intense discussions with some of my real new agey, fluffy girlinas. It's all good, Maria. And, you know, I mean, really, it just makes me want to slap a bitch. I'm sorry, but I just can't stand it. And so when I tell them that, you know, you want to change this reality, we have to go back. We have to go back and look at our values. We have to go back and look at our reactivity, our belief structures. And you got to change it there. You can't apply things to the system. You can't apply to the symptoms. You can't just pretend, you know, okay, we're just going to take a pill. We're going to make this go away. It's not going to go away. It's happening right under our noses.
I mean, look at breastfeeding in public. I mean, that is the most natural friggin' thing in the entire world, is to feed your child yourself.
Yeah.
And everybody, or not everybody, obviously not everyone, but there is a lot of people who get this, like, weird, awkward reaction to seeing a woman do the most natural thing she could do with her child. And yet it's okay for a guy to walk around in, you know, completely without a shirt on or... You know,
And in San Francisco, there's completely
scantily
naked.
Clad women everywhere on TV and in movies, and it's completely okay when it has to do with sex. to see a tit, but you don't you dare whip it out in the middle of a restaurant to feed your child.
Exactly. My assistant was at a hotel in Morocco, and she's got twins, so she's actually breastfeeding three babies at this point.
Holy crap.
So she's here at this restaurant at this hotel, and they asked her to leave.
Yeah.
And she was upset, and, you know, Sabina is not one to back down, so she created this scene and almost got arrested because she was just like not.
How dare she stand up for her right?
How dare she
being.
Stand up for her, you know, feeding her babies when they're hungry and she just
right.
happens to be in a swanky hotel, you know? It's like, lordy. So, well, let's talk a little bit about sex, the taboos, magic, porn, et cetera. I know we've had conversations about this, and it's a hot topic because, once again, it's one of those things where when we start delving into unconscious sexuality, a lot of my work has a lot to do with the healing of unconscious sexuality and ritualized sex abuse, which ends up being a lot of food for the powers that want to be to, like, you know, they use a lot of those fears, a lot of the unconsciousness as an energy source
mm-hmm.
to fuel their agenda. So what are your thoughts?
Well, let me just finish on feminism
yeah.
because I also support the right of a woman to stay home with her children or a man
Beautiful.
To stay home with their children. You know, I mean, I'm not a staunch feminist and I'm not this, like, conservative person, and I'll explain why I say this too, the conservative part. I just think that, you know, feminism is a good tool, but it's been co-opted and it's become a political
yes.
issue instead of a social
yes.
issue. And so many
yes.
things have become political issues
yeah.
that really should have
to
stayed
divide.
Social issues.
To divide.
To
even
divide,
more.
Exactly. To divide. To create more tax revenue, to create more work for divorce lawyers, to create more work for therapists because of all of the, you know, relationship
yes.
upheavals and all
upsell.
Of the crap.
It's an upsell, basically.
Yeah, you know, and it's just as bad as it's been co-opted, in my opinion, you know, what started out just like, you know, really in reality, socialism or communism or whateverism, you know, it all started out as an idea as how to make things better, and it's what people did with it
yes.
that has made it what it is now. Now, as far as sex goes, I've got five kids, so I'm not a Puritan. I'm not a prude. You know, you don't just kind of get five kids just doing it five times unless you just, you know, I don't know. But so I have very, very conservative views on pornography, though. I think that what it's become is deplorable. You know, I have no problem with sexuality per se, nor do I have a problem with erotica, nor do I not get turned on if there's pornography. You know,
yeah.
I'm human. We all are. We all do get stimulated by sex. So,
yeah.
What I think has happened with it is it has provided society with a false version of relationships
Beautiful.
And relating with
right.
other people and sex in general, because it's very one-sided.
Yeah.
Usually very male-centric. And you know, I know that there's women out there who like it and everything like that, and that's fine, to each of their own, you know, and I'm sure there's porn stars that really enjoy their line of work because it's kind of fun, you know, to do things like that. And so, but it's just, I don't think it's healthy, especially the internet.
Yeah.
Pornography, because,
no,
you know, where it was Playboy and Penthouse and Hustler, whatever, magazines, they were static images of beautiful women, you know, and don't get me wrong, I have insecure moments, and so, you know, I'd get threatened by the images of another woman, whatever, but it's a lot easier for me to accept a magazine that's tastefully done, you know, where some of them are just ridiculous, but, you know, there are some tastefully done magazines, and it's still a one-sided thing, but you're not giving as much of your essence and your energy,
yes,
I think, to
exactly.
it, you know, because I think what happens with, like, internet and video porn, it's like you're just totally there and you're feeling it and everything, you know, and then, you know, you expend your energy and then what? You've got nothing
yes.
to give to the people who
right.
you should be giving it to.
Yeah.
And,
well, and it's generating an energy field. It's
mm-hmm.
contributing to the vortex and the reality of unconsciousness that gets to be usurped, that gets to be utilized in ways that we don't even know the total ramifications of it, okay? But what it does, it sucks at our creative energy. And, of course, when that happens, we get drained. We get drained because there's nowhere for it to go except to be usurped by the powers that want to be and the
right.
controller. So it's more mind control. And sexuality at its highest, as you know, is the vehicle through which, you know, our egos can be totally annihilated
yeah.
when we are engaged in conscious divine lovemaking rather than, you know, fucking our brains out, you know. And
right.
I don't have a problem with fucking our brains out.
No.
But when it's done in a way that it is exploitive and creating a reality that you have no control over and you're giving over to these outside stimuli, then, you know, I agree with you. It's a problem. You know, it really is.
Yeah.
And
I think that it really kind of inhibits our ability to relate to one another. I mean,
absolutely.
If you're a guy,
you don't have to relate,
you know,
to a real person.
Not just that, but you just have an expectation of how you're going to relate to another person,
yes.
you know. And there are, I've followed various forums about this subject, and, you know, a lot of the time there'd be girls speaking up saying, you know, I really don't like it, and I really wish he wouldn't do it, and sometimes he wants me to do things that he sees in there, and I do them to make him happy,
yeah.
but I don't really enjoy
yeah.
it. And so it's
yeah.
like still a very selfish
yeah.
endeavor,
yeah.
and it shouldn't be. It should
yeah.
be.
Yeah, it becomes a power
thing.
Play.
Yeah,
a power play of domination and submission. And I've been part of conscious BDSM communities, and that's not how it goes. Because
yeah.
in conscious BDSM, you actually, as a sub, you actually have to petition the dom, and the dom is actually in service to the sub. So, you know, all this bullshit about, you know, she won't do this for me, you know, it's like, well, you know, you've tapped into a reality that just really isn't real, okay? And which brings us to perception isn't reality. So you have to, like, be careful and be aware and be conscious about what you're engaging with.
Right.
You know, and not project that onto your beloved, because it does become a problem. It's just it's not sustainable. And everyone gets drained. Everyone
yeah.
gets drained. I work with a lot of former sex workers former folks who've been in porn, and the sort of level of unraveling that they have to go through in order to really disengage from that sort of mindset. It's almost like this autopilot zombie kind of thing. One of my clients
yeah.
just says, you know, I was just a sex zombie. That's how she describes it. And that she would just go to her sort of little happy place, and, you know, she had her little costumes and put on her happy face and her pleasure face or her displeasure face. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of compartmentalization.
Yeah,
and then you
I've
have
had...
to try to connect the dots to unwind yourself and get yourself out of each of those compartments. It's intense.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I've actually read a lot of accounts like that about from former industry workers, you know, I've heard of a lot of, like, drug addiction and
mm-hmm.
a lot of abuse. And, you know, frankly, I'm raising boys, and I don't
yeah.
want them looking at that, because I don't want them to see that as the way that things are. And then I have a daughter, you know.
Yeah.
They're all someone's daughters, these women and men. They're people's sons, but it just seems like there's... you know, it's more of an objectification of a woman as object, you know, and
yes.
So, you know, do I want men looking at, or women, but do I want anyone looking at my daughter that way? Do I want my sons to look at women that way
right.
and to think that this is how that we're supposed to interact?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, one of the things that I can't stand right now, you mentioned the gender stereotypes, and
yeah.
I mean, my God, if you look at the toys that are on the market for kids right
oh my
now,
God.
For girls
yeah.
especially, I mean, they're trying to make them all into sluts, and it's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
hey,
they
I'm
are.
Sorry, my daughter is sacred. You
yes.
know, my sisters and myself and my mother and my female friends and my male friends are all sacred. We all
yeah.
shouldn't be degrading ourselves this way,
absolutely.
You know. And then, you know, then there's sex. And, yeah, sex is great. You know, let's be honest. You know, and, you know, frankly, it can be a very transcendent experience, a very magical experience. And I've actually been looking into the concept of sex magic lately just to understand it, because at first I was like, oh, my God, Crowley, sex magic, this, that, and the other, and, oh, my God, am I going to – well, what is this? You know, I'm not really getting into that kind of stuff, but I needed to kind of stop being afraid of it and start looking
yeah.
into it, you
yeah.
know, and so – and what I've learned in a way is that sex magic is not what I thought it was, which was I thought, okay, there's these mass rituals and it's all orgies and yada, 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 which there are orgies, I'm sure.
Yes.
But it's supposed to be an act between consenting adults, preferably partners, who
yes.
are really trying to create a magical reaction, and they're using sexuality to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's wonderful, you know, and I think that's a perfect use of sex aside from pleasure and procreation.
Right. It's created by intention.
Mm-hmm.
And intention and ritual. So, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You know, rather than, you know, come here, I just want to get off and go to sleep kind of thing. I mean,
yeah.
how fun for me, you know.
Right.
And what I'm noticing, too, is that with all the phones and the devices, I had a friend who was visiting, and I was, like, kind of stunned. She shared the story about how she had her mom's phone, and anyways, her son had the phone, but he didn't quite, I guess he had gotten interrupted, and he didn't quite, like, turn up, like, shut down all the browsers and close them. Oh, my God. She said that she found all these windows of, like, graphic porn sites, and her son is, like, 11 or 12.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we are talking bump and grinding hardcore stuff. And, you know, and so she asked me, she goes, do you think this is a form of pedophilia? And I'm like going, absolutely, hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's
crazy. I never really looked at it that way. But, yeah, in a way it is, because
it is.
I mean, here you
they
are.
They don't understand it.
No, they don't understand it. They're, you know, and half the time, I'll bet you anything, they don't actually intentionally first out go looking for it.
Yeah.
Because there have been plenty of times where, you know, I'll do random internet searches on whatever, and this, that, and the other will come up, and then there's a link to something else,
yeah.
pornographic. And,
yeah.
you know, when we have the world at our fingertips with the internet, that means we have the world at our fingertips, the
you
good
really.
And the bad part of the world. And so it's a parent's responsibility to be vigilant, but also to educate their children. I mean,
yeah.
I cannot stand this abstinence-only movement, nor can I stand this movement that I've seen in schools across the country where now they want to teach your kindergartner what sex is, because it's not a kindergartner's life right now.
Oh, boy.
It's not a part of their existence. You don't need to corrupt them that way. And
yeah.
so, yeah, I agree. I think it is a form of pedophilia
yeah.
because you're getting them in that mindset way before they're supposed to be, and you're stealing their innocence before
yes.
they've had a chance to really look at the world.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Thank you for saying that, the stealing of the innocence, because
mm-hmm.
there is so much out there. Being in Oakland, California, there's a campaign here, and it's countywide in Alameda County with these posters that really, really just it's a splattered, and a lot of people are offended by its intensity because it talks about that, excuse me, but, you know, if you're having sex with a teenager, like, that's not prostitution. It's rape. It's pedophilia.
Yeah.
And so to remove the languaging so it's not, you know, it's not whited out and sanitized, you know, we're going to call it trafficking rather than sex slavery.
Right.
Rather than calling it what it is, pedophilia. It's,
right.
It's just wrong, you know. So
you change the wording and it kind of makes it more palatable, you know.
Absolutely.
You change the wording and you divert the attention to the really awful thing. I mean, think about all the pedophile rings that have been popping up everywhere in this country and across the ocean, you know.
Absolutely.
And the fact that there's this club in Belgium, I think it is, who's trying to get government recognition of their club, and they're a pedophile.
Oh, yeah, I read about
that. And it's
that.
Like,
I
what the
stunned.
Fuck? Excuse me, can I say that?
Yes, you can.
Okay. What the fuck, man? You know, I mean, really, you're trying to make it legal to defile children?
Yeah.
I mean, sorry if that was done to you, man, but it doesn't make it okay.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know.
Billion dollar industry.
Yeah.
Government
Sick.
Sanctioned, religious
totally.
Sanctioned. It's disgusting. It just is like, you know, wow, okay. And then, of course, you know, the people, oh, well, it just doesn't affect us. That's not really happening. It's like, oh, my God. You know, here in the Bay Area, there's a triangle here. You know, it's the sex slavery triangle of Contra Costa County, San Francisco County, and Alameda County. It is a big, huge problem. And, you know, and I think people don't realize that it's right under your nose in your own neighborhood. And so, yeah, we have to talk about it, not get immersed in it, but really be aware that it's going on so that it can be questioned and checked and challenged.
Yeah. And we all have
to stop. Be dissolved.
Yeah. And we all just stop being afraid of talking about it, too.
Yeah.
You know, we have to stop being afraid of talking about this being an element in our society. And we have to stop being afraid to talk to our kids about sex.
Yes.
Because you know what? If they're better informed, they will make better choices, most likely. Kids will do whatever you tell them not to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they'll make better choices if they know what's going on, frankly.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
that's
we
true.
Allow our kids a lot of freedom of expression in our household. You know, I don't get all up in arms if they curse because, I mean, for God's sake, I curse, and I'm such a hypocrite if I was to say, oh, why are you talking like that, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
we make it clear that that's for home, you know.
Yeah.
You have to be on your better behavior when you're out in the world. And you know, we're not going to – I'm not going to hide the world from them, but I'm, you know, I kind of have to sugarcoat some things, I guess, you know, because they're different ages. But, you
but
know.
That's a good point. That's a good point. There's, there, you know, there's, I think, levels of awareness and also levels of – exposure that I think is age appropriate, perhaps, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, wow, you just sound like super mom. I love it. I love it. And
I
so,
mean, you
so,
know, kids do need to learn about this stuff, you know, but
yeah.
start it when they're in middle school, in high school, you know, or start the dialogue at your house when they're,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they start asking you where babies come from, you know.
Yeah.
Don't lie and say the stork brought them in, but don't just go graphic on them, you know.
Yeah.
And but don't hide it from them.
So I have a question. I have a question.
Yeah.
And this has to do with children. How are you addressing the sort of rampant examples of police brutality based on race? How are you you know, really broaching that those issues, those topics with your children?
Well, let me put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
We never really made much of an issue of race in our household. And, you know, we basically have tried to raise our kids to believe that all people are equal and to really look past the outside wrapping of this
Yay.
Package of a person because, you know, I mean, it limits you
Yeah.
when you put people into categories, and it limits your experience, and it's just not right. I don't think it's right for people to raise their children to hate another culture or to look down upon another culture, maybe not even so much hate, but just like, you know, this whole superiority and inferiority thing. It just doesn't jive with me, and I just didn't want to raise my kids that way. You know, they have kids who, they have friends who are Black, Asian, Native American, Mexican, white, whatever, and you know what? They're all just kids, man. They're just kids. It doesn't matter what they look like on the outside, because what you really should be looking at is what you see inside, and you see it. And when you get hung up on race and gender and religion, you rob yourself of an experience with another person. You know, and as far as police brutality is concerned, I mean, you know, they're not openly talking too much about it, but they certainly don't think it's right. And they think it is an abuse of power. And they don't understand why people are persecuted. Any people are persecuted, you know. I mean, they learn it. They're, my daughter's right now, I think she's learning about World War II. And I know she's going to have some questions. And boy, do I have some things to answer those questions with, you know. And but actually, you know, we've been exploring different topics lately, my husband and I, and there's been some revisionist histories that we've been looking into. And, man, it is causing some stir in, like, the truther community.
And it is.
It's just like, and people are thinking that, you know, other people are anti-Semitic. And, yes, I know. But, you know what, I'm not anti-Semitic. You know, I don't dig organized religion, you know, and I don't dig, like, military dictatorships and whatever. And I don't like what's going on in Gaza. But, you know, I also don't like what's going on in the rest of the Middle East either. I also don't like the fact that everybody's turning their ire against Iran for getting nuclear power. And ignoring the fact that Israel has a secret nuclear weapons cache already in place. They've got nukes right there. And I'll, you know, I mean, if Iran wants to have nukes to, you know, have a fucking defense against, you know, somebody else, not even just Israel, but any of the nations around, you know, that have nuclear capabilities, because India's got them, Pakistan's got them, you know, we know about theirs. And, you know, I have a map of the Earth at night, and it's a beautiful map because it shows a dark Earth, panoramic vision of the whole Earth, and it's like time-lapsed and whatever. And it shows where, like, it shows all the metropolises all lit up and everything, and then it shows all the rural areas not quite so lit up, but still more. And then, you know, you go to where Iran is, and there is, like, darkness. For the whole area, except for where Tehran is, and then there's light. And so, you know, are we trying to say that these people can't have nuclear power to bring them back into the 21st century, you know, instead of, like, just keep them in the times of the nomads? I mean, that's just bullshit, you know? And, I mean, I don't believe in nuclear – I don't like nuclear power, frankly, and I think that nuclear power plants leak and poison our planet. You know, and I really wish that we would have gotten our heads out of our asses in the scientific community and just started really finding an affordable, consistent means of alternative energy in the last friggin' 40 years that I've been alive.
And we do, and we do, solar, and, you know, it's just sort of being just kind of overlaid with a lot of misinformation and distortion. And
not just that, it's not entirely affordable, you know. I mean, if you really want to set up for your whole house.
This is the thing, is that it could be.
Yeah, I know.
But for whatever reason, it's being waylaid, and it, because it would put the infrastructures and the control of the infrastructures out of the controller's hands and put it into our hands.
That's my argument.
Hell,
exactly.
You don't want to have that happen when shit goes down, because people will be empowered. They won't need the controllers.
Exactly.
Oh Lord.
Yeah. I think the same way about marijuana, man. I mean, really, you know, hey, guess what? It's not bad. You know, yeah, people abuse it. Yeah, people get freaked out about it. But, you know, it's got 25,000 different uses, not just getting high, you know. I mean, it could literally, if we would just wake the hell up and make it a non-issue.
And it's
like,
sustainable.
Except that it should just be okay to just grow if you wanted to and not grow if you didn't want to and use it if you wanted to and not use it if you didn't want to. Why the hell can't we do that? Because it would take too much away from the ruling industries right now. Too much profit. And solar power is the same thing. Same with wind. That's why these, you know, we were living in Massachusetts on Cape Cod in a few years back, and there was this town uproar in one of the towns out there about this one camp wanted a wind turbines in the industrial park area, away from most of the residential areas and everything. And then there was this other camp that was like, oh, no, it's going to cause health problems with, you know, the low vibration and yada, yada, yada. And yet, it was this big controversy that people were like, you know, I'm going to get a heart murmur or the birds, they're going to die and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, seriously, you people are seriously, you know, you've got a power plant across the bay from you, you know, that it's leaking tritium into your water supply.
Oh, but that's okay.
You're totally
okay
with that, though, right? You'd rather have that than just, I don't know, have a hum going on kind of close to you, maybe, you know.
Wow.
And so it's like, but see, and it's spun that way to make us turn our consciousness away from these things, just like solar. I mean, it's too much autonomy and not enough profit. And with weed, I mean, it's way too much autonomy, not enough profit for too many industries, especially the medical and pharmaceutical industry. And I mean, the Colorado and Washington and some states have woken up to at least the medical benefits of it, and Colorado at least has, you know, woken up to the financial benefits of it and said, hey, guess what? It's okay now. And they, let me tell you, they've gotten a lot of money come into their coffers because of that.
Yeah.
And so it's just a matter of time, really. But I just want it to be a non-issue anymore, because I just want to grow it in my backyard and use it however I please.
Yes.
You know? But I can't do that because, you know, whatever. But.
Yeah. Well, getting back to the whole topic of the truth movement and the divisiveness, what's your take on that? What's your take on the whole thing of women, the lack thereof in the truther movement? And I love what you call it, a sausage fest.
Well,
I almost
fell
out of my chair when I read that. I'm like, oh, my God. It's so true.
It kind of is. I mean, look at it. I mean, I know that there were a couple of gals on AFR when we were on there. There was Roxy Lopez, and there was the Truther Girls.
Roxy.
And, you know, and that's awesome. And I just, and Kathy Buckaloo, man, she's totally friggin'
Yay!
Awesome.
Catherine!
You know, and so, you know, it's not like we're not represented.
Yes.
But I think that, you know, there's just guys talk louder and they talk longer. And so, you know, it's easy for them to, say, dominate the conversation. And, you know, a lot of us are probably afraid to speak up for fear of being labeled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you know, because of these, like, little social things like feminism. Oh, you're a feminazi now, just, you know,
oh,
whatever.
Boy.
It's like, no, sorry.
I've been called that, and I'm so not a feminazi. No.
I know, and because I don't like porn, I've been, I've been called a Puritan. And, dude, I've got, like I said, 5 kids? No Puritan here. You know? So, yeah, I mean, I think that maybe there's a lack of feminine voices, and there's been such a disservice done to women socially that we're disconnected, the ones of us who are awake. And we're kind of like wading through this sea of women who want to support the current paradigm, even though it may even go against their own secret convictions, you know? And I mean, like Mormon women, why are they still there? I mean, because they don't even get to be elders.
Yeah.
They can have a little boy be a higher, you know, higher on the food chain than they are.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. And I mean,
It's that faith veil.
Mm-hmm.
It's that faith veil.
You know, and we want to have, everybody wants to have faith in something, and women want to have faith in something. You know, we want to have faith in our world around us. You know, but we're not allowed to have faith in ourselves, or at least not if it goes against, like, you know, the ruling social class. Unless, of course, you're rich, and then you can do whatever you want. But that's rich just in general, not just women, men, whatever, you know, because, frankly, Jesse Jackson said something after Katrina that really stuck with me, and say what you will about the man, this was very significant. He said, we all may have come over on, we may not have come over on the same boat, but we're all in the same boat now.
Oh, boy, yes, and, that's true.
You know, it's just this divisiveness.
We're in this together. There's,
yeah,
there's no separation.
We are.
There is no separation.
And you know, the powers that be are constantly trying to separate us, which is why there's this new, I perceive as being this new, like, cultural preservation movement. I'm all for cultural preservation, and I'm all for diversity and multiculturalism. This is a really big planet we live on, and these borders and all that shit, that's all imaginary, man. 10,000 years ago, America didn't exist. You know, the Rio Grande probably didn't exist. You know, 10,000 years ago, it doesn't, we're not apart. We have these distinctions that were made to just to keep us divided, you know, and if the poor man, if the poor black man, the poor Mexican woman, the poor whatever white guy all really realized how they're all poor instead of they're white, black, Mexican, whatever. Then they'd realize that, oh, my God, we're all being screwed over by the ones who look just like us, but have way more than we do.
Hello.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's just crazy. And, I mean, with women in the truther movement, I think that we're starting to find our voices, you know.
Yeah.
It's just been a, it's just been this struggle, you know, because there's these perception about women who have opinions about things.
Right. Well, and I think that in movements in general, it becomes another club, and I know that, you know, in the last couple of months or so, I've been to ufology conferences, truth and movement conferences, human awakening consciousness movement conferences, blah, blah, I mean, on and on and on, and I don't belong in any of those clubs. I'm like this little bee, and I am flitting around from this, that, and the other thing. And yet I'm talking about the same thing all the time. And it is applicable regardless of what conference that I'm speaking at.
Right.
And it's just, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. But what happens is that people will take one look at me and they'll dismiss me because I'm small. I'm small and I'm Eurasian and I happen to wear makeup and, I look like I belong in Burning Man. You know, it's like F off already, you know.
Right.
So it's funny how people's perceptions about who they think you are based on your appearance can, like, get in. I mean, it just gets in the way, which is one of the reasons why, you know, I haven't let loose a lot of my videos to the public, you know, to my YouTube channel, is because, you know, it's like, oh, Jesus. Okay, well, then I'm going to have to, you know, divert attention from that and explain my ass, you know, which is why radio always works for me. I like it much better, you know, podcasts, teleseminars, webinars, much better, because then you can say what you want uninterrupted. And, you know, and let the chips fall where they may.
Definitely.
So, yeah. What has been your biggest challenge as far as, I don't know, your day-to-day or sort of what it is that you want to bring forth in terms of your own potent medicine?
Well, to be honest with you, my biggest challenge is figuring out who the hell I am. Because I grew up one way in one family environment, and I had a little bit of time to myself, and then I kind of joined up with Freighter X, and almost 20 years ago, it's kind of crazy.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah,
congrats.
Like 17 years.
That's awesome.
And it's kind of mind-blowing, you know, because that's almost half my life, and I've, you know, spent it with the same person, and I still love him, and he still loves me, and we still just, you know, keep fighting the good fight and fighting each other sometimes when the need arises, you know. And
it's a spicy union.
It is. It's definitely
spicy.
A spicy union.
Yeah.
And
a deepening, you know, spicy and a deepening.
Yeah. So, I mean, and also, you said something about yourself earlier on in that you swing all different directions, you know,
yeah.
And that's kind of how I've always perceived myself, too. I've never really fit into one category,
yeah.
And because, I mean, I just have always held so many different kinds of ideas about the world,
yeah.
And I've always hung out with people who were different than me.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
And as well as people who were the same as me.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I would kind of connect people from different cliques or whatever you want to call them
yeah.
with each Beautiful. Other in ways that they normally wouldn't have done so,
yeah,
maybe,
in
life.
You're a cosmic bridger, just like I am.
Well,
you
it's
know.
Funny because that's what I was going to say. I'm kind of, instead
yeah.
of a social butterfly, it's kind of like a social emulsifier. And what's funny is when I was about 14 years old, I had this really crazy, crazy dream. I was like in this downtown industrial center area, like let's say, I mean, what comes to mind is probably a picture of downtown Kansas City, but it's downtown anywhere, really.
Okay.
And, you know, the old parts of town. And so I was kind of like behind this, at this warehouse. And there were people going in and out of this warehouse. And there was this crazy doorway where you got kind of zapped. And it was almost like, what it looked like to me is, I don't know if anybody who's listening remembers the cartoon DuckTales. And in the opening sequence of DuckTales, Uncle McScrooge, he gets kind of zapped, and so he's like two pictures of himself, kind of like a holographic or a 3D image of himself for just a moment, and then he goes back to where he was. And that kind
oh,
of
yeah.
happened
he goes
to everybody.
Out of phase. He goes out of phase. So
exactly,
to speak.
Exactly. And so in the course of going through the doorway, that happens to people, and if anything is on their person that is of a religious nature, like talismans-wise, Bibles, crosses, whatever, it dropped there at the floor. And then they went in. And so I went in there, and outside there were like two moon-type things, but they looked like skulls. And it was all really dark at night, and some of the people that were walking in there didn't really look like people. And so anyways, I got in there, and I entered this room that was identical to another great-aunt's bedroom, and it had the smell there, and she was super Catholic and Mexican, and so it smelled like her house, and it was crazy that I was there in her bedroom, like, exactly. And I go over to her dresser, and I pull open the drawer, and there's a Bible, there's a Talmud, and then there's a Devil's Dictionary in there. And then
Wait.
I look up, yeah. And so I look up in the mirror, and there's this man standing behind me, and he's like the classic, like, debonair, dark, handsome, whatever guy with a pencil-thin mustache that kind of looks like a devil.
Mm-hmm.
And so he brings me into this room, and I sit down on this dentist-type chair, and he tells me something, and I can't remember it. And then he proceeds to, either himself or someone else, proceeds to put tattoos on me. And one of them was on my face, and the other was on one of my knees. And the one on my face was like a rainbow serpent thing that was in this kind of Aurora Borealis but squiggly lined coil shape, and it held a rose in its mouth. And then the other one was like this gold bar with the word Zirco, Z-I-R-C-O,
wow.
emblazoned in it. And I just thought that was pretty friggin' wild. And then after I saw those, I like woke up. And there were people sitting with me, and I was like, oh, my God, guys, I just had this crazy dream. And they were like, oh, my God, tell us about it. And I told them, and then my alarm clock woke up, and I woke up in real life. And that was kind of crazy in and of itself. And then I go off later on to look up the word Zirco, you know, online, and it brings me to Zircon, the element
yes.
Zircon.
I thought about that. I have a Zircon bracelet from Mexico.
Right, which is kind of like a binder,
yes,
a bringer together,
yeah.
And when
clear.
I found that out, I was like, wow, man, that is so cool. Was that my consciousness showing me part of my destiny that I'm
Hell
supposed
yeah.
to bring people together, you know?
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
just have to find my voice, and that's been my biggest hurdle, is finding my voice and believing
mm-hmm.
in myself, because even though I was raised to really question everything like that, I was also not really raised with a good sense of self and self-esteem, and my mother put her own personal hang-ups onto her children, and it really did a number on me because I wasn't, I mean, I'll be honest, I am a pretty woman, you know, but I didn't ever really think I was until, you know, my husband kept telling me how beautiful I was,
yeah.
You know, and he does every single day, and I'll tell you, it helps, and sometimes it doesn't because I just still feel whatever, but I was never told I was beautiful. I was kind of raised being told I was somehow deficient, even though I was really
yeah.
smart and I was pretty, whatever, I was too chubby, you know, or too rebellious or too this or that. So I kind of had to fight my whole psyche just to kind of get to a place where I'm okay with who I am. And once I'm finished in that, because I'm still figuring that out, you know, once I've figured out that it's okay to be me and who I am, then I just have this feeling that my life is going to improve. And it really has
yeah.
in a lot of ways already. But and it helps, honestly, to have a supportive partner.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, if I had to live my life with a misogynistic, selfish bastard, I'd probably really be miserable in life.
Yeah.
Who, you
yeah.
know, was into the male dominant thing. And,
yeah.
But, and, you know, luckily, I met my cosmic twin. And
yeah.
that's, you know, who we really feel like we are. You know, I mean, we joke a lot about it and we say we're the Wonder Twins, you know, because we really, as different as we can be, we are very, very much in line.
Yeah.
We're very aligned with each other in a lot of ways. And so it really helps to have that. And I think that there's been, you know, in the truther community, there's been a lot of fear of looking at things differently and
yes.
considering alternative, like, views on things, considering that maybe we're all being friggin' lied to for a reason,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's hard for some people, male and female, to wake up to that. And so there's been a lot
yeah.
of, I've heard of a lot of relationships, you know, of a lot of relationships that suffered once
yes.
one of the people awakened and
yes.
the other didn't, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
When they should have been awakening together, which I have always been on a path of questioning and seeking and everything, and so has Freighter X.
Yeah.
So we kind of came to it together, and we've just made it even more. But, you know,
and
that's
a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. That's one of the things that I really appreciate about the both of you, is that both of you are interesting and interested. You know, because there's some people that are just one or the other, but
right.
to be both. And to be, and to not be afraid of not preaching to the choir, you know, because when we preach to the choir, we just get agreement.
Right.
Nobody learns anything.
Right.
But when you actually go out there and you shake things up because you speak to a crowd or you speak to people, even one person who's like looking at you like you've got five heads and you know, all it takes is just one iota of, you know, a little slip of consciousness, and that person will be transformed. There's
yeah.
a reverberation. There's an infusion. There's a download, a transmission where you're activating, and that's our job. That's our job.
Yeah.
And I just looked up zircon, and it's in the Book of Stones, and just briefly, what it is, it stimulates all of the chakras, it increases life force, and get this, it is about grounding ideals into the physical world. You
so cool.
go, mama. You go, girl. That is...
Mari, you just gave me one more delusion of grandeur, you know? I mean, seriously.
Oh my God! Well, I'm just wanting to shatter a lot of our tribal sort of mind controls, because that's
yeah.
what they are, you know. And what I wanted to say earlier, I just remembered it, is that, you know, the lineage of your mother and all of her stuff, you know, while there might have been challenges, it's obvious that this lineage that she's passed on to you, that you've passed on to your older son, is like, you know, wow, it's pretty potent medicine, sweetheart. So I really just wanted to mirror that to you, because, you are that one conscious person that is in your tribal lineage that has changed it for everyone. Because it only takes one conscious person in any tribal lineage to change it.
Yeah.
And upgrade it. So more power to you. And looking at our time, we're getting close. So what's on the horizon for you?
Well, living, really. frankly, we just found out some mutual friends just emigrated to Uruguay. And
I've got a friend that went there, too, recently.
You know, and if they want anybody to come and join them, I'll be the first on that list, I'll tell you.
Sweet!
I just want another way of life for a little while.
It's cool over there.
I've heard some such. And I mean, isn't that... That's the country that has the president who gives most of his income away.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know, the one that dresses like he's a homeless person. I mean, I had a friend say that. I'm like going, bite your tongue. Come on.
Right?
You know?
And you know what? Let's not forget, everybody who's listening, let's not forget that Jesus was homeless.
Yeah.
And so was Buddha.
Yeah.
You know? And so there's this really awful, I mean, outlook on homeless people.
Yeah.
That I think, you know, I mean,
I've actually spent time on the streets. I'm not proud of it, but we won't get into it. But I've done it. So
you know, and
it's very humbling.
They moved the homeless shelter that was downtown and accessible to anybody and everybody who needed a place to stay who didn't have one. They moved it outside of town next to the prison, and I'm just like, seriously, it's really you're that concerned with appearances that you're just going to pretend to sweep this problem under the rug? You think that they're not going to come? I mean, it's just ridiculous. But so, you know, and I'm so disappointed in our government, our leadership, our heroes of this world that we live in, you know, and that guy, he needs to be added to my list of heroes because I've read so many quotes of him that are just so in line with my own convictions. And it's just like, finally, like the guy from Bolivia too, Morales, you know, finally we're getting voices of the people back, you know, and God, I really hope it happens here. I don't know if it will, you know, until things get ugly. And then I'm afraid that things will just, you know, I don't know, turn into chaos before order, you know. And I mean, I'm not talking about anarchy either, because anarchy has been a word that has just been perverted. Anarchy means self-government and no rulers. And right?
Anarchist.
And you know, if you want to get really esoteric and Gnostic about it, it means like anti-archon, you know,
which
are these elemental forces that are just like trying to corrupt us.
Yeah.
And,
no slaves, no rulers.
But really what's on the horizon is just living and raising my kids and trying to go forward with our media projects. I mean, we're trying to do what Jello Biafra said back the first time we saw him speak. We've seen him speak twice, and each time was just awesome. And I've tried to get him on our show, but he is, you know, obviously incredibly busy. But he said to us that with all of the media coverage being, you know, regulated by the people who own the stations, we need to be the media now.
Yes.
And so that's what we're trying to do. And Freighter X's book is finished, and we're going over the revisions, and hopefully we'll be able to get it to the publisher before the end of the month so that we can have we'd like to have a Black Friday release.
Oh,
his
cool.
book is called The Secret War Inside Freemasonry, and that's really not my forte. You know, but I am supportive of my husband, and let me tell you, the guy is friggin' brilliant. You know, I mean, I can't complain. I've got a walk-in encyclopedia that, you know, I can just
say, hey, what's up with this? He really is.
I know, and it's pretty awesome, you know, and I mean, it's taken me a while to get up the gumption to just, like, go ahead and interrupt anybody who's talking so that I can be heard, because sometimes guys in the movement can be a little long-winded. And we need to be a little long-winded, too, us gals, in this movement, too, to bring cohesion.
Sweetheart.
You know, we need to join together to wake up to the reality that we're all being manipulated. And we're all being pitted against each other with race, religion, gender, gay marriage, abortion, political parties, and all this bullshit. You know, there's people that are protesting right now, McDonald's employees in a couple of cities in America, right? I can't remember where they are exactly. But anyway, you know, they're protesting, and they're walking out, and they're saying, I want $15 an hour, you know, to work here at McDonald's because it's a global corporation. Well, you know what? I want $15 an hour. But I'm afraid that this is going to become a McDonald's against the people issue instead of the wage slavery against the people issue when, you know, we all need to be making at least $15 an hour because food's gotten ridiculously expensive. Gasoline don't even get me started. And if you're somebody who actually smokes tobacco, which I don't anymore, I got out of it before it hit $4 a pack or $3 a pack, you know, and now it's like ridiculous. And I mean, it's just like...
More enslavement. More enslavement.
Totally.
More enslavement.
You know. So I'd like to be able we'd like to be able to make this our life, you know, make this a profitable way of life to where we can just kind of exist. You know, I don't have any dreams to be wealthy. I just want to be comfortable. I mean, and my comfort level is different than a lot of women's comfort level.
Yeah.
I can totally live outside. I love camping. Oh, my God, I love camping. I would love to live a very rustic life. I sometimes envision myself living up in a mountain Jeremiah Johnson style, you know. And so that would be awesome. Would it be awesome also to have a house that had all these appliances that did things for me? Sure. But you know what? I like doing things by hand, too.
Yeah.
And,
beautiful.
So.
Oh, it has been... such a huge pleasure speaking with you, and I thank you so much for your time, your energy, your wisdom, sharing your life, and, you know, you are invited to come back anytime, and we're out of time! So, Mater X, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will have all of your links on the page. And so that is, that's all the time we have, beloved. So
awesome.
Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Thank you, Jessica, for you engineering the show and holding space for us on the East Coast. And let's see, up next. Every second Friday of the month at 2 p.m. Pacific, we have Jai Cross and his new series, Exploring Sacred Topics. Every third Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, we've got Jessica Varga McKay with her show, You're Already Psychic. Fun, 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 fun. Every Friday of the month at 2 p.m. Pacific, we have our founder, the Sarah McCroskey, and her show, Human Spirit Radio. And every fourth Friday of the month at 2 p.m. Pacific, we have Amanda Eloise Johnson, Conscious Evolution of Divine Feminine Archetypes. My name is Mario S. with Jessica Varga McKay, and you've been listening to Waking Gods and Goddesses, Embodying Divine Wisdom and the Sensual Life. So join me every first Friday of the month, 2 p.m. Pacific. Our next show is October 3rd with our yearly outing with spiritual teacher and author Rashmi Kilnani. She'll either be in London or in India. We don't know. Let's see. Like our Facebook page. You can even find me on the Facebook as well. I fired Sabina, so she's no longer manning the field, so I'm a lot nicer. You check out my webpage at www.heartbasednewhumanity.com. You can opt in and receive my Nature of Reality training and attunement meditation for free. And my upcoming book, Beloveds, Effed Wide Open, The Rude Awakening of the Heart-Based New Humanity. I just turned in the final proofs yesterday.
Awesome.
Yay! After I was abandoned by my midwife, but you know what? I pulled it all together. I learned a whole lot. So she is out of the – she's passed through the cervical opening and is entering into the birth canal. So stay tuned for that. Practice your juicy hugging, beloveds, 30 seconds minimum of full contact with a friend, a beloved, a pet, a family member, a stranger who touches you. I dare you. So until next time,
Maria, do I have another moment? Can I say one more quick thing? Okay.
Yes,
I'd love if anyone listening right now would check out our show. We broadcast, we do a podcasting Saturday nights at 9 o'clock. We have a chat room at middlechamberchat.chatango.com that we do. Our show can be heard on thesyncbook.com/middlechamber and also on TalksChew and on Stitcher. Under the Middle Chamber, and it's Freighter X and me and whoever, you know, decides to show up, and it's just a great conversation. And we also are on Facebook on Freighter X, Mater X, first name, last name.
Beautiful.
And we have a page as well for our show called Middle Chamber. And so it's been a real pleasure, Maria. Thank
you
for having me on.
Would you put that on my wall, sweetheart?
Yeah, for sure.
All those links? All right. So you heard it. You heard it here, kids.
Mm-hmm.
All right, much love. Thank you, Mater X. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you all.
Be the love that you are. You are the divine in the flesh, infinite loving awareness and consciousness having a human experience. Until next time, much love. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mwah.
That was fun.
That was fun. Thank you so much, lovey.
You're welcome.
Okay, ciao, bellas.
All right, love. I'll talk to you soon.
Ciao. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This tax refund season, MetroPCS has an offer so good you'll want to shout it from the mountaintops.
Switch to MetroPCS!
MetroPCS!
And get two 4G LTE phones for free!
Switch to MetroPCS and get two free 4G LTE smartphones from brands like Samsung and LG. Only at MetroPCS.
Limited time offer. Sales tax not included in phone price. After instant rebate. Coverage and services not available everywhere. See store for details and terms and conditions.